Luther hated long sermons. And so I'll try to be brief, but don't count on it. And if I wander off topic, which I may from time to time, I'll keep coming back to the Magi, the wise men. And what I want to contemplate with you this morning as an epiphany itself is a chiasmus that I perceive, which seems the right word to me, a crisscrossing the gifts of wealth that the wise men brought over against the gift of wisdom that wealthy King Solomon asked for and God gifted when Solomon became king. If it seems abstruse, more elusive than specific, then work it out for yourself, because that's not my problem. Now, we're starting the Epiphany season when the idea is for light bulbs to come on over our heads as we realize more and more truths about Jesus, including from Matthew, that Jesus really is Messiah, Savior, Christ, and King, as the Magi gifts are meant to reveal. And so to start, I'll go back two church seasons to Advent, which we got a head start by skipping Advent altogether and going straight to Christmas. It was a marvelous thing that did wonders for my post-hurricane morale, and I honestly hope also for yours. Although doing that, we miss the O Antiphons every Sunday singing the Advent hymn, which is essentially a Christmas hymn, O Come Emmanuel, with verse 2, which has the title. Each verse in the hymn has a Latin title. I don't know if you ever noticed that in the old hymnals, but verse 2 has the title Sapientia. Sapientia, because singing, we pray to wisdom. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. In her ways, in the ways of wisdom instead of folly. And her, because wisdom is a feminine noun, both sapientia, Latin, of the 12th century, whence this hymn dates, and also Greek sophia, wisdom, sophia, a name and trait attributed as the feminine side of God. And just so here, O come, Emmanuel, O come, thou wisdom from on high, some sung to Logos and Sophia, word and wisdom, together, one and a complete God incarnate in the Lord Jesus. Wisdom that King Solomon prayed for, but Jesus did not need to pray for it, because as Logos, the Word incarnate, Jesus came as wisdom herself. Wisdom, in contrast to folly, foolishness, Jesus was no fool. As King Solomon, greedy and lusty, you've read about Solomon, greedy and lusty, might well have been a fool had not God gifted Solomon to rule with wisdom. And so going back to our gospel Bible story for this morning, Magi, the wise men, did not bring Jesus the gift of wisdom that they themselves possessed and were so known for. Instead, they brought earthly, worldly gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why? Why? I wonder why. And I also wonder what Jesus or his parents, Mary and Joseph, did with those gifts that were meant for and fit for and revealing a king. Did Mary save them in her hope chest, or did they cash in and spend? Matthew does not say, you see. He doesn't say, does he? And the Bible never tells us. Rather, Matthew checks off those things from Old Testament messianic prophecy as Matthew sees it, and he goes on with his agenda of showing his Jewish Christian audience that Jesus was, is, the long-expected, long-awaited Jewish Messiah, Christ anointed King in David's line. Matthew goes through Hebrew scripture. He goes through the Greek Septuagint, actually. Finds everything and others around him view as scriptural prophecy about the Messiah in those days and years of expecting a Messiah to come and overthrow the brutal Roman occupation, when Matthew would have been one of not alone, but one of many, many Jews looking for that Messiah. Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And they find him in Jesus. But then, shocking to Matthew and others, a Messiah poor, crucified, dying, dead, and raised. Jesus not only would be quite opposite to the Messiah that all the Jews expected, but also would become a Messiah not only for Judeans and Jews worldwide, but Messiah, Savior, Christ, and King for Gentiles as well, and that is for all of us. Because as the gospel according to John told us last week, if you were here and heard that, Logos, the Word, came to his own, God's people, the Jews, and his own received him not. In fact, some scholars say that John's gospel shows anti-Semitism. I don't know quite how that can be, as the writer himself seems to me to be Jewish. But you can judge for yourself. You'll have to read through the whole gospel of John, but you can read that and judge for yourself. And so in any event, Logos, Messiah, the Word, rejected in Jerusalem, is now offered in death and resurrection to be the light of all people for all time, everywhere. But the gifts of the Magi, why did they bring gold and stuff? Whatever would Jesus want and do with human wealth? Jesus, who is not anxious about earthly things, but loves things heavenly. Well, it doesn't matter, you see. Because the gold and stuff is not to spend and it's not to use. It's symbolic. It's epiphany, revealing and recognizing Jesus as King. Gold I bring to crown him again, and so crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. But the gifts of the Magi, why? Is it an ideology? Is it an ideology? Does Matthew lay the foundation in this story for something later in an ideological way, such as the Israelites plundered gold and silver from the Egyptians, who are very glad to be shed of them as they set out for 40 years in the wilderness with Moses? Is that chapter, Exodus 12 story, lays the foundation for the story 20 chapters later in Exodus 32, when the Israelites give their gold and silver to Moses' brother Aaron so that he can make a golden calf for them to worship, because Moses is up on the mountain visiting with God so long that they think he's dead. Those two Exodus stories, Exodus 12 and Exodus 32, are connected. The early story enables the later story and answers the question, where did poor Israelites, former slaves, get gold and silver for Aaron to melt down into a golden calf? It's ideological. It lays the foundation. But the gifts of the Magi, there's nothing ideological here. Matthew cites Old Testament messianic prophecy for his story, but he lays no foundation with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They are simply details that Matthew, writing 80 or 90 A.D., adds retrospectively to the calendar of what happened almost 100 years earlier, just after Jesus' birth, an epiphany of Jesus as the long-awaited anointed one, Messiah, Savior, Christ, and King again. Magi from Persia, which is now Iran, wise men, did not bring Jesus himself, wisdom from on high, the gift of wisdom that we might have expected them to bring. Crisscrossing with chiasmus, Solomon the wealthy king, who asked for and received the gift of wisdom, Magi the wise wisely brought earthy gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the best and most desired, precious, and valued things of creation, welcoming into creation one who came from beyond the stars to share human life with us. I warned you that it might be abstruse, elusive, not specific, but all makes sense to me.